Oh, yes, a very good morning. It's just 15 minutes past 8 a.m. Welcome to the last hour of the Miraya Breakfast Show, where the nation's big conversations begin every morning. My name is Irene Lasso.
And my name is Juma Emmanuel Sunday. Now, last week here in South Sudan, civil society leaders and women parliamentarians came together for an important dialogue focused on advancing women's meaningful participation in national processes.
And at a time when our country continues to navigate transitions, reforms and implementation of the peace agreement, well, conversations like these are not just timely, but they are necessary.
Now, women make up a significant part of our population, yet their voices are still underrepresented in key decisions-making spaces. So what progress is being made? And what more needs to happen to ensure women are not just present but influential in shaping South Sudan's future.
All right, and we're glad to be joined with Ms. Faida Maryakot-Tien Yor from the Women Human Rights Defenders,
and Gisma Juma Hassan as well from the Human Rights Defenders Network here in South Sudan.
That's right, ladies. Good morning, and welcome on board. Right. So now let's begin with you, Ms. Faida. What prompted this dialogue, to be particular?
Yeah, this dialogue was prompted. We are in a transition of periods right now. And this dialogue was created to have a honest conversation between the women human rights defenders or the civil society, the women parliamentarians, people with disability, the journalists, because we want to know exactly what is happening. Mm-hmm. In most time, we have been having conversation. We have women in the parliament, but we are not seeing that influence in real work. So do we have to talk about it on the table among ourselves? What is it that is missing that we are not seeing what women are doing? The outside are making noise. We have women representative. Mm. Is it just a position? Is it just the title as the MP?
There's no impact.
Yes, there's no impact. Mm. What do we do collectively as the civil society, the women parliamentarians? Because we are, election is coming. So where is our stand as the women?
Mm.
Yeah.
And let me bring in Gisma. Gisma, South Sudan committed to the 35% affirmative action for women's representation under the peace agreement. Are we truly meeting the threshold in practice and beyond numbers? Are women meaningfully influencing policy?
Okay, thank you so much. The 35%, we just had it, but we don't have it actually in number participation or representative of women, either in the parliament or in the institution or in the ministerial level. They are not reached that 35%, even other. At the state level, at the county, at the oldest levels, the 35% has not meaning. That's why we call those women together. We see how we can cover this and how we can achieve our 35%. Because if, as we are in a civil society and as a women parliamentarian, we are working differently, we cannot achieve anything. But if we jointly work together, I'm sure we are going to achieve more than 35%.
What do you think is one of the biggest barriers that are making it hard for women to achieve the 35%?
First of all, to achieve 35%, especially in the governmental position or ministerial position or all this position, the women need to be in the politics because the representative is by the parties. So it is encouraging the women to be join on different those political parties. So this is where it can easy for them to be.
Right. Mm. Thank you so much, Gisma, for that. And Faida, just before we went to Gisma, you were speaking about how the women are there, but the impact has not been felt. Yeah. So why do you think this is happening? Why do you think women are taking a back seat?
We have the cultural attitude that is most of our political spaces are male-dominated. So in most cases, we find that women are put there because we want to fill a space. Mm. There's the other axis say we have 35%, so at least we put a woman there. But still, the decision-making, the influence is done by the men. And then we have security concerns. Most of our women we have in the parliament, they cannot reach down to the grassroots because insecurity is everyone, and everyone is know about it.
Yeah.
And then we have limited civic awareness about women rights. Mm. We have women who have been in these same spaces for a long time. And you see, when you become, you've stayed in one place for a very long time, you become so monotonous. You cannot, it is the same language being spoken. We don't have new brains that are coming in. And then there is party loyalty.
Mm.
You're brought in or appointed by the party. So you will have to do everything that benefits the party, not the general population.
Right. Yeah. So you find your hands tied because you need to move their agenda forward.
Sure.
Right.
Gizmo, sometimes we see women activists and defenders of 10, of course, operate under pressure. What is the current protection environment like for women advocating for reforms and accountability?
Actually, you know, to get some protection is a bit hard, but we do it in a preventive measures where we do some capacity building for women to do their advocacy in a positive ways.
Mm.
And also we do some capacity building for them to carry out. This is one of the mechanism of the protection. Mm. But the first protection mechanism we have, it is our constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the Bill of Rights, which is there. It's for protection for all of us.
Mm.
But now our work with the, we came together with the women parliamentarian because we want to see a best way where we can see to advocate for policies and for laws for protection of women, where it can increase mm-hmm. and have more mechanism of how to protect women.
Right. Thank you so much. Now, Faida, I am still on that point. So in this discussion, how did you, what would be the way forward in empowering the women and helping them step up?
Oh, from the discussion we had with the women, we came with issues that the young people are complaining there is generational gap.
Yeah.
We still don't have that. We are not on the same table, yet we have women with fresh brains which are supposed to come up. So we'll have to continue with this conversation and have a honest. And then I point out what you're not doing, and then you point out what we are going, what I'm not doing as someone outside. Yes,
accountability.
Accountability for the women in the parliament, the journalists, the women human rights defenders, or the civil society, because all of us have our own differences.
Yeah.
And if we come together and we work as women, that's when we joined hands, and we find that our hands are united.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to policy drafting, we find women, some policies are being read in the parliament or they're being discussed. Why don't we have this discussion start from down? And then by the time it is read in the parliament or it is being discussed, you already have clues. Yeah. Because some of the people involved in drafting these policies, especially when it comes to women-related issues, these are men. And it is read out and the discussion is dominated by men. But why don't we start as women? You have the journalists, you have the women, human rights defenders, or the civil society, we have the MPs.
Right.
This is what you're supposed to do. This is what how we want it to be done. And also we help the women MPs because most of them are different languages, maybe Arabic patterns, others are English patterns. Mm. When it comes to reading out presses, when it comes to writing articles, most of them don't do. It's quite difficult. It's not that they're not capable, but some of them don't bring out that critical points. So this is where the journalists, this is where the women human rights defenders come in, help them in writing, if it means reading press. These are some of the conversation we have been having with them.
Right.
Yeah.
So the whole point is practice.
Practice, yes.
Yeah.
Gizmo, with the elections expected, how important is it to strengthen protection mechanisms to ensure women can participate safely, not just as voters, but as candidates and civic actors?
Yeah. Actually, we brought this dialogue and it's going to be continued because of what we are expecting in our election. We want to make sure that we have our representative, not only the 35, if we are going to be able to have more, we want to make sure. And it's not only, we are not just doing there because we want to vote for Miss so and so, no, but because we want to vote and we really want to know that this is this woman we are voting, she's the one going to speak on behalf of us. So together with the parliamentarian, it is us to strengthen the mechanism, because it's not only the women human rights defenders alone, but we have a backup with the parliamentarian. And it's not the parliamentarian alone advocating for women rights, it's also the women human rights defenders, the women in civil society, the women activists, the journalists, the lawyers, all of them are back.
Right. Thank you so much, Gizma. Now, Faida, speaking about male-dominated spaces and women sitting on their own, don't you think that there has to be a synergy, men working together with the women? And if that's true, what role should men or community elders and also traditional leaders play in supporting women leadership?
It's true. We cannot isolate or leave out the men, because they are crucial when it comes to transformation and maybe drafting our laws and having discussions about women rights and women participation, women influence. Because if you leave out the men, this is where we find we are on a different directions. So we want to sit down, we start with the women first, and then after we involve the men, this is what we women want. And then this is how you can help us. Because in most cases, we have seen very few women traditional leaders, because it starts from the family if you don't hear the voice of a girl child from the family. So meaning in the upper state, you will not hear about the girl child. So we will have to start from our families, from our communities, our tradition, even the churches. And then we involve in all group of people, the women, the persons with disability. If you see currently in our parliament, it is very obvious that we have representative with persons with disability, but we don't have female or the women representative of persons with disability in the parliament.
Right.
So this one started from down. So we women will have to first sit, have our conversation, and then we bring in the men. This is what is facing us, and this is how we want things to be done. So how can you help us? How can you join hands together? So we cannot leave men out of this conversation.
All right.
Well, let's get to the recommendations of last 2 weeks of dialogue. What are some of the key recommendations or resolutions that emerged from the dialogue?
The first recommendation women talk about, you know, this information gap between the women parliamentarian and women activists or women human rights defenders. So one of these recommendations, they say how to share and change information, especially it's for the women activists. There's some laws they're advocating to be passed, and like the GBV and the anti-GBV bill and family laws. So they want to know, where is these laws now? Is it in the parliament? Is it move? Is it still in the Minister of Justice? It's where? Now it is the lead of the women parliamentarian to tell us the information, where is it? So, and one of it is that this forum, it should be continued. And one of it is it's how they can be together. And I'm sure one of it is, which is the having a group, a platform, to share all this information. And this is one of these recommendations. And also how they can work together. They already mentioned some laws. I mentioned the anti-GBV and the family laws. Those are the ones they are going to follow. And also they're going, the women parliamentarian and women human rights defenders, they are going to join together to advocate for some policies and laws to be passed.
All right.
Yes, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show. It's just 1 minute to the news headlines. And we are speaking about recently concluded dialogue. And this happened last week where civil society leaders and women parliamentarians came together for an important dialogue focused on advancing women's meaningful participation in national processes. And at a time like this, when our country continues to navigate transition, reforms and implementation of the peace agreement, of course, we're having these conversations very timely. And when we come back, we'll be hearing from you ladies what keeps you going. What is it that motivates you, even in the face of adversity? Shortly, let's listen to the news headlines.
And we continue with our conversation here in the studio. Just a reminder that last week, civil society leaders and women representatives came together for an important dialogue focused on advancing women's meaningful participation in national processes. Now, at a time when the country continues to navigate transition, institutional reforms and the implementation of the peace agreement, such conversations are not just timely. they are crucial. And with us here in the studio is Mrs. Faida Mary Akotien Yor from Women Human Rights Defenders, and Ms. Gisma Juma Hussein, a Women Protection Officer at the South Sudan Human Rights Defenders Network. Now, Gisma, before we went for the break, actually, we'd ask you to share with us what keeps you motivated to continue advocating for women's participation despite the risks and challenges women face.
What this make me motivated, you know, the work we are doing, as you see the representative of women in everywhere, like in the parliament and the in the position in the institutions, it is actually make me to do it and have passion about it, and I'm so happy to see now a number of girls in schools are increasing. That is really a high motivation, because I'm seeing now we see we have a honorable speaker, we have some ministers which is a female, and that one it's keep us, that is the work the advocates we are doing is not ending, but it's coming if slowly but surely.
Right. Yes, Faida, what keeps you going?
We South Sudanese women have carried this country in times of crisis, in times of insecurities. We have been farming, we have been trading, even around this we have our mothers, our sisters who sell tamir at the roadside to feed the families. Yeah. So leadership is not a favor to women. If we accept to keep silence, meaning we are accepting inequality, so meaning we'll have to step up, tighten our belt in this time of crisis and continue to move.
Wow, very resilient. And I'm happy that because of your work and your sweat, at least there are some results, and the best is yet to come. Finally, what message would you like to share with the young women and girls across South Sudan who aspire to take on leadership roles? Gisma.
My message to say it, one key we have it for now is education. You need to go for your education and make sure things is going to change for the better and for best. So my message is your education is number one and everything you can get it.
All right. Thank you, Gisma. Here's Faida.
Yeah, I would say to the young girls, I'm confidently sitting here maybe representing the young girls outside there. Your voice matters. Leadership is not reserved for specific kind of people. Gisma talked about education. Get education, build your confidence, and seek mentorship if you need. And then do not let societal compliments or comments let you down. Because if you keep silent, this is where all of us are going to end. So show up for South Sudan, because South Sudan stands on you.
That's right. Ladies, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us.